This is Mazingira Yetu Radio.
Empower and inform.
Proudly powered by Sound 34. Sound 34 Media. www.sound34.com.
Continue encouraging our governments and ourselves that the environment is not really an issue for tomorrow. The environment
Girim. Is really good afternoon.
Issue. Good afternoon.
Yeah, how is Nairobi so far?
Very nice Nairobi.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it.
So what brought you to Nairobi?
The cry for the shea nut. The cry for shea nut. In a technical way, the pride for survival of the shea nut.
So what challenges are the shea nuts facing that has brought you to Nairobi?
Yeah, it is mere extinction. So if somebody keeps quiet, as if there's no problem, then we'll only wake up in the morning and find now the problem is here. But we are sensing the problem. No one was taking a step, so I decided to do it. It's the problem, or the cry, the tears of the shea nut that has made me also to cry. Trees can also cry, in a way. So I came here to inform people that there's a tree species that is getting lost, but the people who are supposed to use it are not much concerned. Can you support, hear my cry, and we collectively work to make sure that it doesn't get away.
So the shea nut tree, what products does it have that makes it so important than compared to another
tree?
Yes,
the primary product of shea nut is the seed. And now it is from the seed that other various products or benefits are. The seed gives oil for cooking, the seed gives oil for smearing, the seed gives oil that is used for medicine. Traditionally, our people use it for treating poison. And now, from the scientific point of view, there are so many products, cosmetics, chocolate industry, of course, the pharmaceuticals, again, they make it from it. In general, it is a multifaceted, multifunctional seed, but it all comes from the original oil. So I think the shea tree is very important.
So tell us, how was the walk? I'm told you walked 644 kilometers from Kampala to Nairobi.
Oh yes, the walk was really wonderful. And I know some people will quickly go to ask, what were the challenges? To me, challenges are usually my driving force. Yes, there were challenges. And to me, I don't call them challenges. They are my energizers. I will only enumerate them for the benefit of other people who call it challenges. One, the walk started not as I had planned it in terms of logistics. So it was a plan of four different teams to complete the process of the walk. One, the walking itself. Two, we needed a documentary team, stop the media. Three, we needed a medical team. Then four, we needed advanced team that was to organize where to sleep, which food to eat. But because of financial incapability, nothing had happened. So I took everything upon me now to do it. I was carrying my load. I was acting as my own doctor. I was acting as my own media photographer. So I was doing everything. And yet my main work was to walk. So those were somehow challenges, but instead they enforced me and they made me now to stand on my own. I said I am myself. Overall, I enjoyed my walking.
I read in the Daily Monitor last year, I saw you on a photo walking from Kampala to, was it Kampala to Arua?
Arua, yes.
Yes. That was the first walk?
No, second walk. The first walk was from Kasese to Kampala to the parliament, also to talk about climate change. I was calling on the speaker to tell the parliamentarians not to use climate change as a platform for politicking, because I've seen on the ground the ordinary person is suffering from the effects of climate change. So I had to walk 427 kilometers from Kasese, that sits at the foothills of Mount Rwenzori, to the parliament of Uganda. So this 520 came now as the second one after the Kasese walk, which the Kampala Arua was 520 kilometers. Again, it was good, but with challenges, a lot of challenges. Here, rain had challenged me the most. The most important challenge, apart from financial, was rain. But I think the financial challenge was more, and that one enforced me, made me stronger. But the rain, because it is a natural disaster, I could not avoid it. So overall, again, my entry into Arua was like a king coming from exile. A king coming from exile. A king coming from exile. I think I cannot compare the Arua reception with any other thing I've even seen. And there was no invitation. People just felt concerned. Well, they had a reason, two reasons, quick ones. One, nobody has ever walked that distance. That was a record to them. Two, I had to pass through National Park, 106 kilometers through the biggest national, largest national park in Uganda, which has all the big five animals. So they were imagining how I passed through there, but I really passed through there. So they wanted to listen to me. And that's why they poured into the town like the locusts now. And I think I must say the media now ended with me well. So what I'm talking today has a historical evidence. If someone goes to YouTube, to West Nile Webcom, you will see jubilant crowds welcoming Mustafa. It's there. So now this Kampala-Nairobi walk is just an advancement, a graduation of the Arua one. Talking about the same thing, I have no different agenda. It's talking about the shea nut. And I'm happy that the United Nations had got impressed with the work, and they have pledged to work with us together. Not with Mustafa, to work with the shea nut victims together. The overall quick brief I can put about the walk.
So the shea nut tree, in Uganda, which sides of Uganda is the tree found?
Yes, the tree is actually found in the whole of northern Uganda up to eastern Uganda and in South Sudan. So it is called the Sudan Belt. Where I come from, which is Western Nile, is almost all the districts except one, Zomo District, which is towards Congo, because it is on the highland and the state is cold. So the shea tree does not necessarily, grow better in a cold area. It has its characteristics of growing in a rangeland and oil parkland, especially in the savannah, where it is a bit warm or hot. So it is found in the whole of West Nile, Acholi sub-region, Lango, Teso, Karamoja, and the Sebe. Sebe is a Kalenjin group, just like in Kenya here. So, yeah, up to the lower belts, they call it the lower belts of Mount Elgon. So that is, meaning it covers almost half of Uganda. Yes.
So what specific challenge does the tree face?
And the only challenge is they are cutting it down for charcoal and the wood, fuel, and that's the big challenge. The challenge is in such a is because once you cut it, it will not come back, and the rate at which they are cutting it is alarming. And we later found that they are cutting it because they don't prefer to cut it. They are also conditioned or forced to cut it. It all comes back to the economic aspect of it. I must say that I was happy with the guidance from the discussion from UN. One of the discussions, it was a kind of interactive meeting. Somebody said, yes, conservation is a good thing, but not blending the conservation efforts with livelihoods will do nothing. And I purely supported that. I said, this is my main point of the work. I want to urge people, the governments, I came to UN two ways. The other way is, of course, to raise the awareness up to their place. But the other one is to urge the UN to impose its mandate on the governments to see to it that let them avail the necessary facilities to their people, so that as UN, they see their mandate of protecting the environment is not nothing. Because if the governments cannot do it, the work of protecting the shea nut is supposed to be by the respective governments. Because a country like Uganda is a sovereign state. UN will not just come and say, you do this. No. UN is an organization which Uganda has subscribed to it, like Sudan, like Ghana, like any other shea nut country. So the work of the UN is to push, to urge the governments to do that. So I said it is better to also show my voice to UN, and from the looks of yesterday, I think they're going to do it.
Are there any local efforts towards conserving that tree or protecting it?
Yes, the local effort is the one I started myself, and there were a few individuals and organizations that wanted, that were impressing it. But again, they don't have the economic muscles. They don't have that capacity.
Yeah.
All in all, in few words, we need to do awareness on the conservation, but the government needs also to invest resources on turning the value of these trees, translating to the people so that people will understand, oh, this tree is valuable, so we don't destroy it in the way we're doing it. That's the essence.
When you go back, what message do you have for the Ugandan government?
The message the UN gave me, that the people must first of all attach value to the shea, then that's when they will protect it. So if they don't see any value to the shea, automatically they will go ahead cutting it. Because a shea tree, one tree, in terms of economic aspect, can give more than $200 in value. But on the ground, as we talk now, it is sold at even less than $1. This is from Uganda. One tree is sold at 3,000 or 5,000 Ugandan shillings. Yes, and this is burnt in
the
charcoal. Yes,
it's
a dollar. So that is the nexus, that is the correlation, really. It is something which is factual. Yes.
I saw you managed to address a crowd during the Wangari Maathai Day, and you were able to meet some of your, but I'm told she's your icon.
Oh, yes.
So how was the experience?
That one, really, I can't say it, but I've fulfilled my long-term time dream. Wangari was my inspiration. Not only on that day, even yesterday, I was formally invited to see her office, the office she left. And I was very much excited when I took photo besides the Nobel Peace Prize. The prize is put there, so I do. And I think my dream is made. Now, the only thing is we have to work together, because I've been impressing what she started. I cannot just get excited and say, oh, I've come to her office. I want to translate or replicate what she started also in other areas. So we have, in principle, agreed to work together with the foundation, because I was hosted by the chairperson of the board of governors running that foundation. So I think everything is going now in my interest. And
do you think, are you going to form any form of partnership with ICRAF on any other thing?
ICRAF, not really going to form a partnership. ICRAF has been behind the scenes already, my technical guidance. Coming to ICRAF office was merely to expose it. And I think now, formally, we can do things together, because ICRAF has a better knowledge about what I will wish to do. I cannot be an all-rounder. I am merely a messenger. Then ICRAF can do it. Just like I came to UN with ICRAF. They were not invited. I'm the one who invited ICRAF to come with me. And in our discussions, ICRAF was doing the technical part. That's how UN saw it. This gentleman is not just on his own. If he can come with ICRAF, yes. So UN, ICRAF.
So what's the way forward?
The way forward is to go back and begin walking the talk by taking actions to preserve it, but also to regenerate. We need to plant more of that. But most importantly is to put pressure on the government. These people, I said, are cutting the trees because they have nothing to eat. They need to get money so as to for food. So the only quick way is to cut it down. But we need a tree. So I think the government should find alternative form of livelihood so that the shea is protected. I am happy to say that the President of the Republic of Uganda had put directives, a presidential directive on the protection of the shea nut. But I think he needs to revisit his directive by checking, doing monitoring and evaluation. And of course, I know from his state house, he has that unit of monitoring and evaluation. And I think I'll need to emphasize on that so that that thing's done and the evaluation effect is to see that people are helped how to use the shea in the best sustainable way. All our cries here are about sustainability. I, for one, am saying if it is not used sustainably, the next generation will not learn, know of it, and they will have missed the good benefits of that tree. And that is the way forward to go.
So, your parting shot to the world, Ugandans, Africans?
Yeah, it is an African affair. From discoveries and whatever I would say scientifically, this tree is an African tree. And so Africans should actually have taken pride in that by preserving it jealously, but instead they are destroying it in a funny way. So I'm calling upon all the African states that know the importance of the shea to preserve it, because it is their gem. It's a jewel for them.
Yeah, Jerima, thanks a lot.
Thank you very
much. It's been an honor knowing you, meeting you, learning about the work, learning about the shea butter tree.
Yes.
And as an optimist, I believe the future is bright. Yeah. I wish you the very best going forward.
Thank you.
Na tunajua zaidi na tumekwisha somezwa kila mahali ya kwamba unapanda miti.
This is Mazingira Yetu Radio.
Empower and inform.
Proudly powered by Sound 34 Media. www.sound34.com.